Welcome to my podcast, You Are More. I'm your host, Amy, and I'm excited to be here with you. This week, my voice has been doing some wonky things, and so I decided I'm going to bring back one of my most downloaded, one of my most popular episodes, and I thought it was so fitting and so appropriate. It's one that I did with my mother. So in honor of Mother's Day, I'm like, we're going to bring it forward again. And my mom in this episode talks about being a warrior for her family, being a warrior for my dad, being a warrior for her grandkids. And she talks about being her secret weapon really is her ability to listen, to hear what's being said and what's really not being said, to understand, right? And I think if we think about it, listening and really hearing even what's not being said is such a key to great communication, to helping someone navigate things. And I know as a mom of twins and a mom of 9-year-olds, like it's critical that I'm listening to them, listening to their tone, listening to what they're not saying, seeing what their facial expressions are. And so this was a good reminder, and this episode is full of gold. I hope if you've listened to it before, you'll take a second listen to it because there's such wisdom in it. I hope it encourages you. I hope that you feel loved, honored, and celebrated on Mother's Day this year. And if you're out and about Sunday, Sunday morning at 9:30, I am actually going to be speaking at Celebrations Church, and I'm excited about that. So 9:30, Sunday morning, Celebrations Church on Mother's Day. I'd love to see you there. But if not, enjoy your day. Feel loved, feel celebrated. And I'm cheering you on to keep working on those world changers that you've created out there. And enjoy the episode. Take care. You Are More, a podcast to inspire vision, hope, passion, and enlightenment. To help facilitate and move you forward in all that you are called and created to both do and be on this earth. You are more. Welcome to my podcast, You Are More. I'm your host, Amy. And man, I couldn't be more excited to be doing this episode. This is a special episode. I have, it's actually going to be epic. So I have my mom on my episode, and we're going to do a special Mother's Day podcast. And I thought it would be so great to literally, I've been pulling teeth, guys. I've asked her so many times to be on this podcast, and every time she resists me. So reluctantly, she showed up tonight. So I'm super excited about that. But I just thought going into Mother's Day and just thinking about the impact of my mom on my life, I just thought it'd be great to hear from her because here I am. I'm 52 years old. How old are you?
69.
69, I'm feeling fine. Anyway, and I thought she brings so much value. And now as a parent, I'm obviously an older parent. Our whole life stories are very different as far as, I mean, she had me young. I was almost 44 when we had our twins, right? But like just the guidance that she gives to me as a parent has been super impactful. And I just want to introduce her to the world because she carries a lot of wisdom and has overcome so much in her life and has raised three really strong-willed children that are all successful. And when I see successful children, I always look at the parents and think, wow, what'd they do? And then I look at my own mom and dad and think, man, they were babies when they had us. And I think that we've all turned up pretty darn well. And when I look at my parents and you look at legacy and you look at impact, their grandkids adore them. We just did their 50th anniversary a few years ago. And I'm telling you, like if you would have heard the testimonies of my nieces and nephews of the impact that Mana and Papa have had on their life, you would have been blown away. I mean, it's all anyone could really ask for. It's the best gift ever is to have your kids and your grandkids literally rise up. And I mean, the Bible says rise up and call you blessed, but literally to so appreciate the legacy. And so I just want to talk to my mom today. And let's start from the beginning, right? You had me incredibly young.
Very young.
How young were you?
I was, I turned 17 and a week later, no, 3 weeks later, I had you.
Guys, can you believe that? A teenager. She had me.
Yes, yes.
And I have to tell you something. I oftentimes think I'm grateful. She could have made other choices. I could have not been here. She could have taken the easy way out, the road that had a lot less, you know, challenge to it probably just to, you know, not have me. So I'm always like, oh, I'm so grateful that they did. I want to tell you guys something. If this tells you anything about her fiber,
And I don't want to talk and carry this whole conversation, but when she was in the hospital with me, they came in and they asked her if she'd like some aspirin. Tell the story, Mom.
Well, they came in and I was in a ward, and I don't even know if they have wards anymore. It's like six people in a room, and we didn't have insurance, so we were paying for it. And so they came in and said, "Do you need any pain reliever?" And I said, "Well, do you charge for it?" And they said, "Yes, we do." And I said, "Well, no, I don't need any pain reliever then," because I didn't want to mount our bill.
I think, what did it cost to get me out of the hospital?
Like $200.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yes. But I go back to that point, because here you're going to see the fact that, okay, when she said, "No, that's okay," that same mentality, that same commitment, literally she demonstrated, and my mom and dad have demonstrated through our entire life, sacrifice on their part. That actually made me cry when I first heard that. Like, oh my gosh, you didn't even take a Tylenol because of what it would cost you? And it broke my heart, right? But I've seen them make those kind of sacrifices, because when you're 17, that's what you got.
You do what you do. You do what you have to do.
So going back to that, describe for me the feelings you had when you brought me home from the hospital with dad probably going back to work. Mm-hmm. You're family not really that engaged, right? And what kind of decision did you have to make on the inside?
Well, my mom did help. So, I mean, I believe she took like a day off work to kind of show me the ropes. But I had no preparation for a baby in my life. And all of a sudden, there you were. And I loved you from the first squeal. But coming home was real sobering, because immediately babies poo. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is diarrhea. I got to call the doctor. I had no idea. So I called the doctor. He was a great doctor, Dr. Roth, and said, the minute he answered the phone, I started bawling, and he knew who it was. He said, come on in. So that there were many Dr. Roth calls that said, just come on in. Because once I got on the phone, I couldn't speak. I just cried.
Yeah.
But, you know, as things went on, I got more comfortable with it. And I was kind of a natural mom.
Yeah, so, for sure.
I loved it. And I had a really supportive husband. Scott's been great. And I don't know, it just all evolved and it worked. A little overwhelmed, but not totally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Think about that today, guys. Where we're at as a generation, as a society, a 17-year-old with that kind of fortitude, that's rare. That's really rare. And so you're there, you're doing all your stuff, and along comes my sister. So not only did she take me on at 17, but by 19, she had two of us.
Yes, yes.
I mean, think about that. By 19 years old, to me, it's like, guys, again, 43 when we had twins, 19 when she had two kids. And just the sacrifice that went into it. And so I just want you to just talk to us, like, as a parent, what would you say to a young mom today that's feeling overwhelmed, that doesn't know exactly what to do? How did you navigate it?
Oh gosh. You know, I think that, you know, my mom was around, so I could question her, and Scott was there, and he was a great help. I could say I called on the Lord, but I really wasn't saved at the time. But yet I knew, praying, I believed, I had faith, and I always knew things were going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to get through this no matter what. And I think, you know, you were not a sleeping baby.
Surprise, surprise.
So it got a little hairy sometimes. Tiptoeing down the hallway so we didn't wake you up. But then we had Mo, and she was more of a sleeping baby, so it kind of balanced it out a little bit.
Yeah, thank God for that.
Yeah, but you know what? The more time went on, the more comfortable I was. And I thought it was just normal life, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it as
extraordinary
at all. No.
Did you ever have times where you thought, like, I'm missing out? Your friends are going to college. They're having jobs. Did you ever, or they're doing different things. Did you ever feel like, man, I'm kind of missing out?
Never.
You didn't?
Never.
Wow. That's amazing, isn't it, guys?
I didn't. I didn't. I remember one time a friend coming to visit me, and I didn't answer the door because I was kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I thought, why didn't I answer the door?
Yeah.
But I was kind of embarrassed.
About?
Well, that I was that age and dropped out of high school. That wasn't my intent ever, to drop out of high school.
Yeah.
And so I was more just, I was happy in my own little world, but when someone from high school came to visit me, I felt kind of embarrassed.
Yeah.
So I didn't answer the door.
Hmm.
So whatever that says.
Yeah. You're like, uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yes.
But you were happy in your world.
I was.
You're happy in your world.
I was very happy in my world. I loved my husband and I loved my babies.
And you and Dad made a commitment to each other. Mm-hmm. And reiterate that for us, will you? Right.
Well, we dated, I believe I was 13 when I met Scott, and dated. He would walk across the river to see me because I lived on the east side and he lived on the west side. And for years we went, he'd come over once a week and visit.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, when we were together, we always, the more we got together, we said, we are going to do things so different.
Mm-hmm.
We want to do things so different in our life. And we spoke it and spoke it and spoke it. And then when we did get together, we did do things different indeed. We were determined.
You had a whole entire different bent. You probably had to take, I mean, you didn't have a role model for that at the time.
No, because all we knew was different. We're going to be different.
You're going to be different. You made a commitment to be different. Mm-hmm. Now, guys, think about the pressure when you don't have a role model showing you what different looks like. All you have is what you knew, and you didn't like what you knew. Again, at the age of 17 and 19 years old, making decisions like that. It blows your mind, really, that you guys had the fortitude or even the wherewithal to even know that.
It just goes to show you what you speak.
Yeah.
And determine in your mind and speak.
Mm-hmm.
It comes to pass.
Yeah.
Because we had no tools to make us different or to be different except for the sheer want to, mm-hmm, of doing different.
You guys could have easily played the victim card. You could have.
We could have.
You could have played a victim card really easy.
We could have.
You could have played the poor little me card really easy. Mm-hmm. And that's never been your bent. Mm-hmm. It's never been. And I look at myself and I look at my sisters, and you pretty much raised us without, there's no little, well, Dad used to call it the poor little me club. Mm-hmm. We didn't have those clown parties, right? Like, that's not where we were going. And you know, obviously I have a real estate company and we hire people, and today to the detriment, I look at the people we're hiring and I'm like, wow, they've literally had everything handed to them. And as much as I love to hand things to my kids, and that's a tendency, the detriment that comes to these kids' lives because they don't know how to do anything. Mm-hmm. And they don't know how to even be like a self-starter. Right. To look for opportunity to work. They don't know that. Mm-hmm. Well, my husband laughs, and my brother-in-laws all know this, is that we worked, mm-hmm, didn't we?
We did.
We worked a lot.
We did.
And
we did a lot of work to make extra money, to make ends meet,
yeah,
to be able to do things. So early on, we took on some rental properties that needed a lot of work. So in order to get it done, we made it a family occasion. And so our family, they worked well together. We had a synergy. It was like, we go work hard and we, mm-hmm, have fun. Because Scott was always such a great attitude. He always had fun and made things. It was just fun. We worked hard, then we played hard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we actually played while we worked, but we did a lot of work.
It's kind of like, I don't know how to like sit down and play board games and things like that with my kids. It's like it's not in my body. Like, I don't know how to do it. Like, it doesn't translate. Thank God it translates for my husband. But it's like, oh, I can take you out and show you how to paint, though. And we can have fun doing that. And then we can go get ice cream. But that's, we learned, the thing that I'm even like now as a parent, my mom and dad, I had no idea the level of hustle that they exercised at all times. I had no idea the commitment that they were making to us and the sacrifice they were making for us all the time. We didn't know things were tight. One of the greatest gifts they ever gave us is that we didn't know that there was lack. We didn't know that we didn't have enough. We didn't know that things were tight. They never said things like that. They didn't ever make us feel like we couldn't afford something. And to this day, I think that's so, the trajectory of my life looks so different because lack and seeds of lack were not deposited in me. They didn't let us know those things. And so now, even when Steve and I are talking just privately, our kids are always listening. I'm like, you have to be so cautious not to let them hear. Not that they can't know, hey, I'm going to make different choices. We're going to make different choices. That's what they would always say to us. We're just going to make different choices, right? We're going to make different choices. But we never heard, like, we can't afford that. And I think that that's such a detriment to put that in kids. You can't afford it. You can't have it. You can't afford it. To plant those seeds in there. Instead, if you can reframe it, just we're making different choices. We're making other choices right now. I think that the power of that over someone's lifelong life, I mean, over their life, the landscape of their life looks so different when they've not had that deposited in them. I mean, again, I'm in the sales industry and I have people coming in all the time and I look at them. And one of my key things when I'm looking at is like, what is your relationship to money growing up? I'm always curious about that because it's such a leading indicator of whether they're gonna be able to be successful in this business or not. It's how do they think about it? Is there never enough or is it just growing on trees? Because the two extremes are the two extremes and they both have impact. And so one of the greatest things I'm grateful for is my mom and dad always, we hustled. We worked concession stands. I mean, we've been selling our entire life, haven't we?
Yes.
I mean, we have been concession stands and festivals and fairs and Tom Thumb donuts. And we never one time, this is the thing that blows my mind. We never thought that we didn't have money. Mm-hmm. Yep. We never thought it was out of need.
Yes. Yep.
That's an art. Cause that's, I mean, seriously, can you imagine today? Like kids like, no one else has to do that.
Yes.
We had no idea. And they always did make it fun. And I just think about how God must have had such a plan for them because for them to even have the wisdom to not say, we can't afford this. Mm-hmm. Mom, I don't ever remember that coming out of your mouth.
I don't think it did.
I don't remember that coming out of Dad's mouth ever.
No.
I don't remember impossibility talk coming out of either of your mouths. Mm-hmm. And when you think about that, you had every right to talk like that in the natural.
Yes, but.
But you didn't. Like, didn't. You knew.
We knew.
So let's fast forward to, like, junior high time. Mm-hmm. And you start to have different friendships, right? We switched churches at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just tell us about how, like, that took, because it really transformed our entire family also.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did change churches, like when you were in fifth grade, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Or seventh. No, it was seventh.
The middle of my seventh grade year, y'all.
It was awful time, but that's when we did it. And it was a blessing because it was as painful as it was leaving our previous church. When we went to our new church, there were people there that we connected with right away that were 10 and 20 years older than us.
Mm-hmm.
They had kids, you know, getting ready to graduate and stuff. And I just watched them like mm-hmm. a hawk. I knew we had their kids and we taught Sunday school. We had their kids in Sunday school and oh my gosh, they knew what they were doing.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, we don't
uh-huh.
we have no idea how uh-huh. to raise teenagers.
Uh-huh.
So we just looked, watched and listened.
Mm-hmm.
Two pros. A couple 10 years older than us and a couple 20 years older than us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just became their students,
mm-hmm.
basically. And it was successful.
Yeah.
It was great.
Here's the thing. They could have been like, oh, those guys are older. I'm not going to do that. Oh, that's a different whatever. But again, just that position of, I think when you're always in the position of, you have something to teach me. I can learn from you. Mm-hmm. And you're in that you remain teachable and coachable. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to go through all the, you don't have to screw it all up.
Yeah.
You don't have to screw it up.
Yes. Yeah. Find a mentor.
Yeah.
Watch them and learn.
So my mom and dad were not only mentored, but our house was full of kids all the time. Mm-hmm. We always had, they led the youth group. They led a Sunday school class. And literally we had kids from the Sunday school over at our house all the time. Mm-hmm. Wanting you guys. Because they're the cool parents, right? So they always wanted to be around. So not only were you, which I think is the perfect harmony in life, not only were you guys stretching and reaching for mentorship from people that are beyond you, you're also reaching down, pulling up the next generation. Mm-hmm. And even today when I run into people that were in your youth program, like the Todd Kearns and people like that and the Tim, and like they loved you guys so much. Mm-hmm. They wanted to have a marriage like you had. And again, they did. They always came to you. They always said that. They always wanted to be you and dad. And I think as I'm speaking for myself, I don't know about Steph and Mo, but like we took all that for granted. We took for granted like, oh, okay, whatever. It's just our mom and dad. They're kind of embarrassing actually, but that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now looking at it, I'm like, what a solid family you guys formed. And it's really one of the greatest gifts that we have. And I'm so grateful. Here's the reality of it, guys. My mom, I mean, I stayed in the Cedar Valley. I got into real estate. I wanted my own identity. And adult parent relationships are a little bit challenging. They're not a piece of cake. There's all these weird boundaries and there's all this weird changing and all this stuff going on. Right. And, I'm not looking forward to that when my kids get older. I'm like, ooh, I can already tell they went to Des Moines on a field trip and I'm already having issues. Right. But just like I'm so thankful for the grace of God and for family that they don't quit on you and they don't give up on you and they forgive and they look past all your, you know, all your, you thought you all had it all together and you're screwing everything up and could step in and still love you and have a relationship with you. And,
I'm thankful for that myself because I've done some things that aren't the best and I've overstepped my bounds many times, but I've had, you guys have given me grace too.
That's it. Really is all about mm-hmm. having the capacity and to
our family is so important that you just lay some things aside that, you know, things that might come up and you just feel like this isn't, and you know what, big picture,
it's not worth it. You guys have demonstrated that over and over and over to us, like protected at all costs. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm grateful for that because I see a lot of instability in people and I've never really struggled with that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's because I came from such a sure foundation. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I've always known who I was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I haven't lacked, nor have my sisters lacked a lot of confidence. But it's because we came from a sure foundation where we are constantly being poured into mm-hmm. and told that we could do whatever we wanted to do and that we were well able and that we are extremely supported. Now, okay, fast forward. And my mom and dad, here we are driving home with a set of twins. Now, that's like getting hit with a Mack truck at 43. I mean, that is a Mack truck hitting your life.
Yes, it is.
in the best way.
Yes.
In the absolute best way. But it was like, whoa. I've watched my mom and dad. Steve and I have watched my mom and dad. We've wrestled with my mom and dad, like how to raise Faith and Foster. Like, you know, they're like, you better get a hold of those guys. You better not let that continue. You better stop that now. It's not going to be good 10 years from now. And like, you listen to all that stuff and I'm like, well, they're right. We got to take their advice because they're right. Right. But I don't know what I'd do without guideposts like that. And even every Tuesday, my mom picks up the kids from school. And every Monday night, Faith and Foster, without fail, they always say this. We're going to Mana and Papa's tomorrow night. I'm like, yep. And they're like, Mana's picking us up. And I'm like, yep. And they're like, yes, Mana's picking us up. And I'm like, yeah. And they said, I wonder what she's going to make us for dinner. Without fail. That's what they always want to know. Right. But I'm so grateful that they have their Mana and Papa. And here's the thing. My mom and dad will put them to work. Like sweep the garage or do whatever. Like they're going to work. And I'm grateful again for that living example of
pick up dog poop.
Yeah. All of it.
All of it. Yeah.
And they might complain and mutter around about it, but I don't have one niece or nephew that doesn't know how to work because they've been sent to Mana camp. Right. My sisters used to always send her both their kids. They'd send, their kids need a little correction. They're kind of pushing the limits. They'd send them to Mana camp. It's crazy. But she can just whip them into shape big time. They don't know. Everybody knows don't mess with Mana. That is just the truth. And here's the thing. I've often made fun of Mom. Like, not joke. I've not made fun of her. I've joked with her. She's like Pippi Longstocking. She's a street fighter, right? If anyone messes with one of us, oh, it's on. In fact, sometimes I just don't tell her things because I'm like, oh, she might just go knock them to another planet, right? But I want to go back to something. There's nothing like a praying mom. And a couple years ago, as I walked through a health crisis, I found so much comfort knowing that my mom was standing praying for me. And I knew that she was standing with every part of her being. And there's nothing like the impact of a praying mom. There's nothing like it. And I'm so grateful for the gift of a praying mom. And if you're a mom that's out there discouraged, like just keep hope, keep praying, right? But there's nothing like that. Like it moves mountains.
It does. And just the fact of motherhood, when you think of motherhood, really the biggest thing that you can become in motherhood is a warrior for mm-hmm. your family.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good perspective, Mom.
A warrior too. Pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for your grandchildren, because things are coming against them all the time. And you just have to have eyes to see that and ears to hear. Listen. When you're around your family, listen. Because when you listen, you hear things that go, oh, that doesn't sound quite right. And you start coming against it and you start believing. And so I would say the biggest thing as a mother is become the warrior of your crew, of your family, because it does change things.
Guys, let's say it again. The biggest thing you can do is become a warrior for your family. Mm-hmm. The greatest gift you can give,
yes.
The greatest assignment on this earth is for you to become a warrior for your family,
right.
To stand in the gap for your family.
That's right.
And we have seen firsthand, like, I have to tell you something. I think that we all have our issues. Everyone has their things. Like,
that's
life,
right.
it rains on the just and unjust. Life happens, right? Mm-hmm. And we've all walked through things. But I can tell you there's extreme grace and extreme favor on our family. There's generational blessing on our family. And I know it's because of what you guys have plowed. I know it's what you've stood for. And, I mean, guys, when I was walking through my health situation, every day my mom and dad would sit outside in the parking lot as I go in for treatment, and they would pray for me. And here's the thing. I could walk in there. I'd pull in that parking lot with such dread, and I'd see their cars and think, I can do it. And I'm almost 50 years old just seeing my mom and dad. I'm like, I can do this. There's no greater impact that can be made than I knew that they're walking lockstep with me through all that hell. And it was almost as if they were walking through it, right? I knew that they were caring at that level. And nothing gives me more comfort. I mean, my dad drives around my houses, you know, in the mornings, my sister's, mine. I see him out. I know he's praying for us. That's his drive-by prayer, right? But I know our life looks different because my mom is a fierce, fierce warrior for her family. And when I say fierce, I mean fierce.
She might take
get the title Street Fighter for nothing.
She might take you down like Leroy Brown. She might knock you out, man. But fierce. If there's anything that we could recap, that is like sage advice. Like that is probably the greatest advice you could ever give anyone, Mom. Say it again.
To be a warrior for your family.
Uh-huh.
You know, be a warrior. And I don't mean warrior. I mean, hit your knee, hit the knees, wherever you're praying, whatever you're comfortable with. But also be a listener of your family, because a lot of times, especially adult kids, they're not going to come to you with problems. But if you pay attention and just listen, mm-hmm. when we're all together, you can pick up on different things that probably are happening mm-hmm. in their life. And you can stand against a lot of things that you see that aren't going to be good for your families or your individual self.
Mm-hmm.
And so
who taught you that?
I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know, when I'm thinking of perspective, I haven't, when I think of what I've done in my life, okay, I've been a mom and a wife, a mom and a grandma and or mana, and it's been the greatest. And I don't feel like I've missed out. I haven't gotten any big job. I've made very little money. But you know what? I was always thankful that I had the time to be able to listen
mm-hmm.
and then be able to spend time praying.
Mm-hmm. And we are the beneficiaries of it.
Yes.
So,
and generation, it just gets better and better with uh-huh. each generation.
Uh-huh. I know my kids are extremely blessed because they have a whole different perspective than I even had.
Right.
Right. They have a whole different life than what I have.
Right.
And I had a great life.
Yes, but theirs is even better.
Yeah, but theirs is even better. And theirs will be, I tell them every day, like we lay in bed with our kids at night. And every night I tell them, you're a wonder on this earth. You're created on this earth. You're going to do such massive things on this earth.
Right.
Right. Foster, you're probably going to be building cities in space, and right. Faith, you're going to run the whole entire world.
Right.
Right. Like I'm constantly, yeah. But I'm only doing what I was taught to do. By you and Dad, you know,
and take a look at yourself,
and here you go. And so I only just continually reinforce those things. But if we can just kind of to wrap this up, if there's anything that you got out of this, be a warrior for your family. Yeah. And then the second key is to listen. Mm-hmm. To listen. Mm-hmm. I'm a talker. She's a listener.
Well, my whole family, they're mostly readers, and I'm always getting a bunch of baloney for not being a reader.
So, well, I'm not really much of a reader either.
Well, you push yourself to do it.
Huh?
You know, there was
listen to lots of podcasts and audiobooks.
There was one year when they said, how many books are you going to read this year, Mana? And it was pathetic. But in place of reading, I just honed my listening skills mm-hmm. because I want to be aware of what's all going on.
Yeah.
And everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I listen intently.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a reader.
Yeah.
So,
but you're still a leader.
I'm a leader. I'm a listening leader.
You're a listening leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's good. Well, I'm so grateful to have had this opportunity to have you on this podcast. This is her first. She'll be back for many more. But she has a lot to teach us in regards to a lot of things. And sometimes I think she doesn't understand the greatness that she carries. And while she's a warrior for her family, she's got so much wisdom she could drop on y'all in regards to marriage, regards to standing and building a firm foundation of faith, of building and standing and building a business, right? With my dad, they co-labored in it. They built it. I mean, she was as big a part of it as he was, right? And then just raising us strong-willed children.
Yes.
I mean, we're all strong-willed.
And we wouldn't want it any other way. All of us, I've discovered, everyone's strong-willed. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to take that away from them.
Yeah.
You just want to direct it a little bit.
And I'm going to need help directing that with my kids. I'm very aware of this already.
Yeah.
Well, happy Mother's Day. If you have a mother here on earth, celebrate her. Mm-hmm. Don't let the day go by without celebrating, taking the time to acknowledge their impact on your life. Celebrate them. If you're a mom for the first time and this is your day, congratulations, enjoy your day. But if you're listening to this, I'm just going to go back to that one last statement. Be fierce,
and be a warrior for your family. Be a fierce warrior for your family. Contend for your generations. Contend for their victories. Man, that is good. That generational blessing that comes through that. There's nothing like a praying mama, right? No one's got as much skin in the game as that mom does. So you hold the keys to your kids' future in so many different ways. So don't take that lightly. Embrace it. Acknowledge it, but see it for what it is. The daily grind of maybe the dishes and the laundry and the school schedule and the running around and doing all those kinds of things. And you're working your job and you're in your career and you're, you missed a soccer game and you missed that in the stretch and the pull. Be really focused on the fact that, my biggest gift I can say is, what am I speaking over my kids and what am I praying for my kids? What am I interceding for them for? So here's the reality. You're raising giant slayers for this earth and you're raising mountain movers for this earth. And so the battle might be great against their life, but that's because the call on it's so big. So always thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. I hope you'll share this with the multitudes. I hope you'll share it with the masses, right? Because I want you to remember one thing. You are created for more. You're on this earth for more and you're created for more and you are more. So be blessed.